Rossa, you're very welcome to the show and thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Amber. Thanks for having me.
So, Rossa, to start off, tell me a little bit about your own background and the work that you do.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the owner of a company called Odessa Leadership. And I suppose it was a demand that probably created itself just pre-COVID, where I was getting asked to do bits and pieces around leadership in a sporting context, really. And then it kind of migrated into business as well, and a little bit into education. And I suppose it comes from my time as going way back in my time in the military. So I spent 20 years in the military. And in that environment, particularly in the last 2 years, I was in a special forces element. And there was an awful lot of emphasis in that environment placed on what we used to call emotional intelligence. I suppose it wasn't necessarily recognized back then. But say in the years, intervening years, I just noticed that I was getting asked more and more about what it is and what it isn't and how it can benefit, let's say, groups that have a requirement to have a leadership element in them, be it amongst themselves or where they're going out to other groups in business, sports, education. And it did start in sport. And I think it was really in high performance sport in particular. Certain sports, probably rugby being the main one, which was probably my first love. They were always curious about finding elements or percentages that would make them better than their competitors. And they found that if they could develop the leaders in their group, their softer skills and all that kind of stuff, that it gave them a material benefit. And I suppose that's where it all started, really.
Fantastic. Really, really interesting. And Ross, I know you're speaking at the Kerry Businesswomen's Network event in just about a week's time or so. And it's all about emotional intelligence, as you were talking about there. Can you tell us a little bit about what people can expect from it, I suppose, or maybe why emotional intelligence is so important?
Sure. Well, the first thing I should say is Kerry Businesswomen's Network, or KBN, have been very good to me. We did a bit of work with them over the last few years. And I suppose the first or second time we did it with them, we'd always be anxious to get feedback from them. And they were very interested in this piece themselves. So they asked us then when we returned, could we delve into emotional intelligence specifically? We kind of touched on it. And then they said, well, could we go into it in more detail? So the last time we were down, we did a full EQ, as it's called, let's say, versus IQ workshop, where, first of all, they really enjoyed it. And second of all, I think they found it very beneficial. And so I suppose what it really is, or the way we would approach it, me and my colleague, would be that we do it in a, let's say, in a classroom environment, very nice and relaxed, where we'd explain what it is and, more importantly, what it isn't. And then we would intersperse that with some practical, on some occasions, outdoor activities. But I think on this occasion, next week, on the 5th of November, it'll be in-house in the hotel. Practical, let's say, mini workshop as to how you could use it. So we'll explain what it is, explain what it isn't, and then we'll do some practical little miniature workshop to practice people in actually doing it. And ironically, a lot of people actually know what it is. It's just that we would kind of help them develop it. I suppose that's the best way to sum it up.
Yeah. And for those who might be listening, Rossa, that don't really understand emotional intelligence or, you know, what it means, we'll say from a business point of view, can you explain it?
Yeah. So I suppose it's a range of personal and interpersonal traits that allow you to be, let's say, in the KBN context or in the business context, a better leader, a better manager, a better decision maker, a better mentor or mentee. And it has all to do with your personal and interpersonal qualities. So it's being able to understand and practice the values of listening, understanding, expressing your own feelings, and actually recognizing all of that in others. It's also quite simply being able to get along with people and knowing how to get along with other people. And that's everybody from the people that you naturally get along with or you're naturally aligned to those who you don't, more importantly, knowing how to deal with people who you aren't naturally, let's say, sympathetic or empathetic with. It's also about learning and practicing how to be a good communicator. And it's, I suppose, ultimately, all of those traits, all of those qualities, we want you to then be better able, more positively, to deal with new dynamic situations in a business context, sensitively, and obviously, efficiently. I suppose that's it. Yeah, and then I suppose the workshop then would go into a lot of detail on a bunch of different pillars that underpin that general description.
Okay, that's really interesting. And when we look at it from a business point of view, I suppose, again, and kind of tying in with the event that's coming up next week by KBN, How is emotional intelligence, or what role does it play in terms of building those successful leaderships and having an effective team maybe working in a specific organization?
Yeah, so I suppose the mainstay of the EQ workshop that we will do with the ladies next week has to do with 10 different disciplines, if you like. And if you have the time to get there, I'd love you to come along and we'll show you what they are. But they are 10 pillars, if you like, that will allow you to be a better leader in your business and a better leader for your business. Like, there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of online debate around what makes a good leader. But I would always say a good leader has probably 4 different versions of leadership. One would be, let's say, would be collaborative in its nature, where you work as a team. So you're almost the leader amongst a bunch of leaders. The second would be consultative, where you will ask your team everything and then you are the person who decides. The third one would be a dictator, which is a bit of a dirty word, but actually can be quite effective in a crisis, where you take charge and make decisions efficiently on behalf of the group. And then the fourth one would be a thing we call follower or followership, where it's okay actually to be in the background, but just be very good at what you do and put a huge premium on valuing people in a group who aren't natural leaders, but if they're very good at what they do and they're happy to be in the background, that can be a form of leadership because it makes other people around them want to be better. It sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but actually it's a very important version of leadership that we would value. So the 10 pillars of EQ come from that, and they can cover things like adaptability, self-reliance, empathy, knowledge of self, self-actualization or energy, capacity to develop relationship skills, and a few others.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. And Rossa, I know it's very difficult to be a leader, you know, and I suppose taking on a leadership role within an organization as well, no matter what size of that organization, it's a challenge as well, because you're dealing with a lot of different people. And as you mentioned earlier, there's some people that just, you know, find it more difficult to gel maybe than others. But it's important that we have good leaders at the helm when it comes to these different organizations. And they do need to be able to, I suppose, put their emotions aside and make those difficult decisions while also carrying out their work and, I suppose, encouraging their staff to do the same thing. So these kind of workshops are really invaluable, I can imagine, because they'll teach people, I suppose, how to do that maybe, and I suppose how maybe they can improve on what they are doing as well.
Yeah, 100%, Amber. And the other bit as well is, and I'd be a real champion of this, you know, it's about embracing failure as much as it is kind of underlining success. So I come from a background where we failed regularly, particularly in the kind of specialized military environment I was in. Failing regularly was a thing. Learning how to be better during your failing is probably the trick. So I suppose part of the fun and games that we have on the day is when we do some practical stuff, we allow everybody to make mistakes and to fail during some of the little miniature workshops that we do, and to feel comfortable in that and to realize that that's just simply how you get better. So we allow people to do that, to realize that, you know, if, for example, if you had a team, that you're managing a team, that for them to make mistakes isn't a crime. It's actually the only way they're going to get better. So it's all around understanding that nobody is infallible, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we've been talking about leaders there as well, but I think the event itself and speaking to you here as well, it sounds like it's open to everyone, not just leaders, because I suppose we can all learn when it comes to emotional intelligence, how to maybe use it better in the workplace, or how I suppose we can, as you said, maybe learn from our mistakes in the past as well. So it's worth attending, I can imagine, next Wednesday to learn a little bit more and just to see, I suppose, the role that each person within an organization can play.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, when we stand up at the top of the room next week, you'll notice we make a point of telling you or telling the group about where we have weaknesses as well. Because if you understand your weaknesses, then 2 things will happen. One, you'll fix them, or you'll try, and you'll certainly make them better. And the second thing is you'll gain respect and empathy from the group that you're leading, because they realize, okay, this person has got humility in the middle of them, and maybe I'd open up about my weaknesses as well. And I suppose the general benefit of all of that is that the group gets better. You become a better leader, and more importantly, your group gets better individually. So I suppose that's the logic, you know.
And I can imagine that's probably what you're hoping to get out of next week's event with the Kerry Business Women's Network, is to teach people those skills, I suppose, and to see positive results coming from it.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, having done it before with them, I know that'll happen because we great fun with them. We certainly did in the last couple of years where they got that very quickly. I didn't have to say to them twice. They bought into it. If we have any skill at all, our job is to make them buy into it early so they have fun. They know that making mistakes is okay and that learning is all part of that. And if you've got a group in front of you, Amber, who do that, sure, it doesn't even feel like work. It's actually enjoyable for us because we actually benefit from that type of interaction as well, you know, so it's great.
Absolutely. Look, it sounds like it's going to be a great event and thanks for taking the time to speak to me in advance of it, Rossa.
Not at all, Amber. Pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.